oil prices still climbing.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. It's a new day, but the same old story. The price of oil is rocketing to higher and higher levels. Right now, it's over $78 a barrel, and some analysts say it's possible it could reach $80. What are the reasons? Well, you could take your pick from a number of conflicts: fighting between Israel and Hezbollah, explosions of gas pipelines in Nigeria, or Iran's nuclear program. President Bush and other leaders of a group of eight leading nations are heading for the Russian city of St. Petersburg for this weekend's summit. This will be the first time Russia hosts the meeting. At the top of the agenda, the issue of energy security. Stephen Beard reports from the European desk in London.
President Putin will try to convince his G8 partners that Russia is a dependable supplier of oil and gas. The European leaders will take some convincing. They've become very nervous about their reliance on Russian energy. This winter, they got a shock. In a dispute over prices, Russia briefly cut the natural gas it was pumping to Ukraine, and that also cut supplies to EU countries. Dieter Helm of Oxford University.
That was the wake-up call for the Europeans to realise that they were pretty vulnerable on the basis of a small number of very large pipes.
And the Europeans have also become alarmed by Russian plans to build a new pipeline to China. There won't be sufficient Russian oil and gas for both pipelines. The fear is that in its new resurgent role as an energy superpower, Russia will play the Chinese off against the Europeans. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Russia's state-owned oil giant Rosneft says a share price for its IPO next week will be $7.55. This is Russia's biggest IPO and one of the largest in the world. It could raise close to $10.5 billion if it happens. You see, a British challenge yesterday from rival Yukos throws everything up in the air. The company filed a last-minute injunction to stop it. Airbus and Boeing, that used to be the actual order of revenue and reputation between the two airline manufacturers, no more. Now it's France's Airbus that's struggling to play catch-up. So the Farnborough Air Show next week outside London is critical. Billions of dollars are at stake. Jason Parr has that story.
In a change of fortune, the European airplane maker Airbus is trailing Boeing in new orders this year. Just a few years ago, it seemed Airbus could do no wrong. Every summer, it proudly announced a fat order book. But aerospace analyst Scott Hamilton says this year, it's Boeing doing all the bragging, while Airbus looks to rebuild.
Essentially, Airbus is going through what Boeing went through a couple of years ago. It has a product line for which many serious questions have been raised, however legitimate they may be. It has management turmoil.
The new Airbus Super Jumbo Jet continues to be delayed, and this spring, one of the world's largest buyers of airliners told the company it needs to redesign its midsize A350 model. Hamilton says Airbus needs to unveil an important strategic direction next week if it hopes to end the bleeding anytime soon. I'm Jason Parr for Marketplace.
Another down day for the markets. The Dow was off 166 points at 10,846. The Nasdaq sank 36 points to 2054. And the S&P down 16 points to 1242. This is Marketplace. The price of gold is rising, and that could mean you're holding on to something pretty valuable in your closet or dresser drawer. Hillary Wickay has some words of wisdom for you about scrap gold.
When you broke that bracelet, you put it in your jewelry box and forgot about it.
And there's no doubt about it that there is a little treasure there.
James Turk at GoldMoney.com says your instinct to hold on to that gold was right. Those broken necklaces and out-of-date rings from old boyfriends may be worth selling as scrap gold. But first, you need to know what you have.
24 karat is pure. Most jewelry in the States is 14 karat, but you'll also find a lot of 18 karat. And then the junk jewelry is 9 karat, which has very little gold value, relatively speaking.
He reminds jewelry box gold diggers to check with the Better Business Bureau about a local scrap jeweler's reputation before selling their treasure. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. We've all seen it before. A film has a huge opening at the box office, then seems to disappear the following week. In the biz, they call it a drop, meaning a film drops in revenue after it opens. Mike Spire is managing editor for Daily Variety. Pirates of the Caribbean cleaned house when it opened. I asked what he thinks it will do this weekend.
It's going to have another huge weekend. There's no doubt about that. It obviously will have a drop. It remains to be seen whether it's going to be a big drop, which is about 65 to 70%, or if it's just going to maintain, which in blockbuster terms is about a 50% drop. That's on average.
What are some of the factors that contribute to a drop?
The biggest factor that contributes to a drop in the summer is what's coming out the next weekend. Because in the summertime, that's when all the kids are out. So every week has another major, major release. So Superman got released over the July 4th week. It had a whole week to itself. But it had to get all of its revenue pretty much that week because here comes Pirates. And now Pirates is out, but here comes Me, You, and Dupree. And here comes Monster House.
Some drops obviously more serious than others. If Pirates of the Caribbean, which had such a huge opening, falls off some, as you said, it won't matter much, not like Miami Vice.
Right. Some of these mid-level movies, which obviously no one can predict how they're going to do, but let's just assume they come in the $60 or $70 million range. That's when you don't want, from first to second week, a big drop. A perfect example is Poseidon. This is a movie that was a big blockbuster in terms of expense and marketing, but the first weekend was bad. The second weekend, it dropped very much. It dropped 65%. That's when you have to wonder about those big drops, and that's what studios hate.
When did opening weekends become such a big deal? 20 years ago, no moviegoer could tell you what the opening take was for Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Exactly. And look, blockbusters started really in effect with Jaws. When drops became such a huge part of the industry, you probably could say about 10 years ago when people started saying, let's spend all the money now and get as much revenue as we can on the first weekend, because what happens afterwards is kind of out of our control.
Okay, let's contrast two recent movies, Superman and Pirates of the Caribbean. Both were expected to have monster revenues. Pirates has lived up to that. What happened to Superman?
A lot of factors go into why a movie doesn't hit the hype that it's supposed to. The biggest one is the managing of expectations. I mean, Superman and Warner Brothers, it had a big opening. It had $100 million over the 7 weeks. The problem is $100 million is great. It's wonderful. But if something costs $250, it's like any other business. You can't shell out X amount of dollars if you only get Y amount of dollars, and the Y is less than the X. It just doesn't make sense, even though it sounds great. And the general population thinks $100 million, how can that be terrible? Well, it's not terrible, but it's not as good as, let's say, The Devil Wears Prada, which is a small movie, costs very little to make, and people are talking about it. And this movie's going to have legs, as they say, throughout the summer. And while it's not Superman in terms of hype, it's certainly going to live up to expectations. And it's all about the managing of expectations.
Mike Spire is managing editor for Daily Variety. We're podcasting. Check out our website at marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
Environmentalists want the government.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.